So there are a few verses that we're going to be looking at this morning, and the first being Romans 11, which in the New Living Translation is titled God's Mercy on Israel, with the second half of that chapter titled God's Mercy is for Everyone. So let's read that. It's up on the screen. So Romans 11, 17 to 24. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessing that God has promised. Promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they didn't believe in Christ, and you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, he won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe towards those who disobeyed, but kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you will also be cut off. And if the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again. For God has the power to graft them back into the tree. You by nature were a branch cut from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into his cultivated tree, he will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. So this morning, the title of my message is The Wild Olive Tree. And let's pray. Father, this morning, as we look into your word and we look at the theme of being grafted in, would you speak to us this morning? Would you challenge us as to what that really means, to be grafted into God and to his family? And thank you for your word, and thank you for what you're going to do in our lives this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who here loves olives? I love olives. I love olives. I actually love anything that's pickled. Give me all the jalapenos, the beetroot, the onions, and gherkins. I love gherkins. I remember when I was a kid at Christmas time and we would get our Santa sack full of all our stuff, and in there would be big bottles of olives and gherkins. Santa knew that I love my pickle stuff. And yes, I was that weird kid at school that would bring Glad-wrapped gherkins to school and totally, yep. The kids hated it, but I love my gherkins. And right now, my mouth is watering just thinking about gherkins and olives. But as I mentioned this morning, I want to talk about grafting. And I have to admit, you know, all the research that goes into preparing a message, I've become quite an expert on grafting. And I can tell you all about the rootstock and the scion and the vascular cambiums. Bet you haven't heard that word before. And I've been very impressed, and it's very interesting, and I've learned a lot. And I've been really amazed at how they've made these amazing trees called fruit salad trees. And I've shared a bit more about this on my video, which you'll see in the life group this week. But I reckon that we can do more than just fruit salad trees, can't we? You know, there are stone fruit trees with 5 different types of stone fruit. There's also citrus trees with 8 different types of citrus on them. But I reckon, why not mix them up a little bit more? And this morning, I've created a Mexican tree. Oh, come on, a Mexican tree. Because really, grafting is just about cutting a branch off, sticking it in, cut another branch off and sticking it in, isn't it? Well, I reckon that's all it is. So voila, my Mexican tree. I've got a chili tree here, and I have added in, I think that one's tomato, and I think this one here is an avocado, and I've added in a tomato. Tomato, olive, and avocado tree. And I'm really excited about my Mexican tree. How successful do you think my Mexican tree is going to be? We'll come back to it later. And if you are like a horticulturist and if you really do know about grafting, don't come at me, okay? This is just a sermon illustration. Okay. But there is a mountain called the Mount of Olives. Everyone heard of the Mount of Olives? I'm sure you've heard of it. It is a short distance from Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives was a place where Jesus often went to pray and to teach his disciples. And the Mount of Olives was also a place where olives were harvested and crushed to make the oil that was useful in making anointing oil and oil for the lamps in the temple. And olive trees grow all over Israel, and they're spoken of a lot throughout the Bible, aren't they? They are one of the greatest sources exported to neighbouring countries under the reign of many, many of the kings of Israel in the Old Testament. Even today, the fruit is in high demand in Israel and around the world. The name of the olive tree means tree of oil, and it comes from a primitive root phrase that means to shine. And when you look at the olive tree, it doesn't appear to be such a beautiful thing to see. At times, it can seem so ordinary in appearance and size, and normally it grows to about 5 to 7 metres. Some say it's not a pretty tree, and it can also look really, really messy when it's got all the fruit that it bears surrounding it. The tree has got really thick leaves, and as it ages, it often grows taller, but it becomes really badly twisted with knots and turns in its limbs that happen through the adversity that it has to grow under. A fully matured olive tree often has a very strange form, and many of the trees around Israel have been there for over 1,000 years. And they were possibly growing and producing fruit in the time of Christ and are still producing olives today. Many of the olives have root systems that have been proven to be well over 2,000 years old. Olives are harvested, well, at least they were in the past, by shaking the trees, and the olives would fall down. And sometimes they were beaten with big sticks and branches to make the olives fall. The fruit of the olive tree is really small and not of much value. Olive trees must be properly tended and cultivated to produce good fruit. To become truly productive, the olive tree must be grafted, a process by which a good olive tree is made to grow upon a wild olive tree and make it productive when that good branch grows. It is done this way so that the well-developed root system of the wild olive tree can be used to support the good branch, and it will take far less time before the tree can become useful again. The good branches will eventually take over, and the wild branches will continue to decay. Mankind uses the grafting method in this fashion, but God's spiritual grafting is done just the opposite. God's grafting process is to take a wild olive branch and graft it onto a good tree. God takes that which is wild and makes it productive using the well-developed and deep roots of the good olive tree. In a natural sense, it often takes 10 to 20 years for an olive tree seedling to produce a proper harvest of olives. That is why men graft them to older root systems. But Paul alluded to the fact that we were just wild olive trees unfit for the kingdom of God. And he wrote these words in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. And it's titled, Oneness and Peace in Christ. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel and did not know the covenant promises that God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united in Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. And I love that. Now we are united with Christ Jesus. He took us, the wild olive trees, and he grafted us onto the roots of the good olive tree by sending Jesus Christ to die, to be buried, and to rise again to new life, to be grafted to the good olive tree branch. And Jesus is that branch. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Imagine a big Aussie gum tree. It gets struck by lightning during one of our big summer storms, and a branch is broken off and it's lying on the ground. It's a goner. But the owner of the tree carefully and lovingly grafts that branch back onto the tree. When the branch was otherwise dead, he gave it new life. He saved the branch. Now imagine if that branch could talk and it would say, "Wow, it's really nice to be part of this tree. Thanks, farmer. That's great. But I don't really want any nourishment or water or plant food. I'll be fine on my own." What do you think will happen to that branch? And we see that with people, don't we? They say, "Wow, it's really nice to be a part of this tree. Thanks, Pastor. That's great, but I don't really want any nourishment or water or plant food. I'll be fine on my own." What do you think happens to those branches, to those people? Well, some aren't here anymore. Some might be weak and sickly branches, and some might be in danger of falling off the trees themselves. We all need nourishment. We all need plant food. We all need Christ, and we need his word. And we can make all the excuses in the book, can't we? But the truth is that when we miss church, when we miss life group, when we miss doing our quiet time, or we miss going to that prayer meeting, we are starving ourselves. We are weakening ourselves. We are missing opportunities to strengthen our connection to the tree and to Jesus. We were that lightning-struck gum tree branch, broken off and left for dead in our sins. But God graciously picked us up and he grafted us back into his family. And we are grafted into God's family. We are adopted by God our Father. We are true children of God, adopted into his spiritual family, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Adoption means to take by choice into a relationship and to voluntarily take the child of another parent as one's own. Because our Father God loved us so much, he desired and chose to bring us into relationship with him, and by faith we chose that relationship as well. Romans 11:17 says that we were grafted in to partake of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, to partake of the goodness and love of God as adopted children with full rights, full promises, and provision of heirs of that promise. But what does the Bible say about adoption? The theme of adoption is woven throughout Scripture. And here are some verses that I love that remind us of how adoption has been woven into our own unique stories. Ephesians 1:5 says, "God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." The nature of the gospel is clear. Through his will, God has set his radical love on us through the sacrifice of his own son. Before we breathed our first breath, what a marvel of God's love on our behalf. And Galatians 4:4-7 says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." Apart from Christ, we are isolated from the love and the mercy of our Father. But through the cross, we have been adopted into God's family, receiving all the benefits and blessings as his children. Isn't that great news this morning? And there's more. We are also full heirs of God's rich inheritance, overflowing from his grace and his mercy and his love. My own unique story is that I am adopted, loved and accepted into my mum and dad's family. And I thank God for the amazing adoptive parents that he gave me. I have never felt like that I wasn't part of their family or that I wasn't their daughter. And even when I married Robert, he was a full-time single dad of three boys, Stephen, Aidan, and Christian. And when I married Robert 19 and a half years ago and said my vows to him, I also said vows to the boys because I took that commitment seriously. And look how cute Christian is. He was only like six when we got married. I was going to be a full-time, well, mother role in their life. And I didn't want to be a half-hearted, aloof stepmom who would have my own children and play favourites. I was all in, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, even to the extent of choosing to not have my own biological children, because I truly did and I truly do consider the boys to be my sons. And having three boys was enough for me too, by the way. I was grafted into Mona and Gordon's family, my adoptive parents. I was grafted into Robert's family, and we are grafted into God's family. When we receive Christ by faith, we have the privilege of becoming his children. We are adopted into his family. John 1:12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And this refers to the status of all Christians, both men and women, you and me. We now enjoy all the privileges, the obligations, the inheritance rights of God's children. The gospel of Christ means that we have been offered the gift of salvation. And when we accept that gift and we become followers of Christ, we are given a new spirit. We are forgiven of our sins and we are made right before God. But God didn't stop there. He adopted us. We become his children with all the privileges that it entails. We are not the hired help. We are full-on family members, and we can ask for his help whenever we need it. Adoption is the heart of the gospel. It's all about the relationship that God wants us to have with him. Your security is not dependent upon anything other than God's everlasting, unconditional, arms wide open love that he has for you as his child. You can call on him anytime and he will be there for you. You're not imposing because he wants to help you. Max Lucado says, "If anybody understands God's order for his children, it's someone who has rescued an orphan from despair. For that is what God has done for us. God has adopted you. God sought you, found you, signed the papers and took you home." There's another little quote I love of Max Lucado, and it says, "If God had a refrigerator, your face would be on it, your photo would be on it." I love that. And maybe this morning you've actually never experienced this kind of love. You haven't experienced this love of God. But God already loves you, and whether you know him yet or not, if you accept his son Jesus as your personal saviour, then you can be brought into the family of God. You can be adopted into his family. And we may take this for granted. I was just sharing in our little communion group that, you know, we just say John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son." You know, we can recite it and we can just wash over it. But no, God does love the world. But let's not forget, he loves Deb and John and Jazz. You know, he doesn't just love the world. He loves you personally as part of that world. So we can just take that for granted. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." We can relate to him as a good and a loving father as a result. Romans 8:14-17 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." And as his children, the Spirit of God testifies to our spirit that we are his children in a very unique way. We are grafted into his family. So who here this morning is grateful that we are grafted, that we are adopted into God's family? Could the worship band come up, please? In closing, we are going to look at my grafted tree, the Mexican tree. Sadly, and this is very, very sadly, I think we can all agree that my tree is not going to grow successfully, which actually is a real shame. But as we have been looking at the topic of grafting, I've got some questions that I think we can take away from this message based on my grafting here. Are you certain that you are grafted into the good tree? Are you still a wild olive tree, or are you growing to be a part of the good olive tree? I shared in my message about being adopted into God's family, about being able to personally experience the great love that God has for us as his children. That's us. If you haven't experienced this love and you want to, or you want to be regrafted again into this good tree, we would love to pray with you. Secondly, are you serving the Lord or are you serving self? Is your first goal in life to be fruitful for the kingdom of God, or is it just to kick back, enjoy life, and bear fruit when you've got nothing else better to do? And thirdly, if you are connected in and you are grafted into Jesus Christ, are you standing firm with him? You see, it's so easy to let the things of this world begin to draw you aside, ruining that connection to the good olive tree and then causing you to revert to being a wild olive tree once again. And finally, let's be so thankful that we are chosen to be grafted in and we can become good olive trees and not wild olive trees. It is not God's desire that we remain wild trees, but that we all become a part of his tree. We are to be a planting of the Lord, his good olive trees producing fruit. And Jazz would hate me for suggesting this, but as I was finalizing this message, I had that old 80s song in my head, you know, that we might be glorified, you know, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Good catchy song. And John's going to sing that for us after. So let's thank God this morning that we don't have to be a wild olive tree anymore. Let's worship God, and then why don't we have a time of prayer afterwards?